It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This morning, Republican State Representatives Jim Christiana and Jim Marshall called on citizens to join them in a rally across from the Beaver County Courthouse to protest Governor Wolf's budget proposal. It was designed to be a response to the governor's scheduled rally in support of his proposals. There's been a lot of rhetoric coming from the Capitol ever since Governor Wolf vetoed the Republican legislature's proposed budget, launching a stalemate entering its third week. And as the budget crisis drags on, so does the media war, with each side blaming the other, being waged on social media and on television about who is responsible for the anxiety being felt by agencies and groups funded with state dollars. Here to look at exactly how this media war is playing out and its impact on the budget impasse is Jeff Ritter. He's chair of media communications and technology at La Roche College. Jeff Ritter, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul.
You can join the conversation with a comment or question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH at WESA.FM, on Twitter at ESSPGH. Jeff Ritter, talk about how the budget impasse is playing out in the media and why is that important?
Well, it's not surprising to have, you know, negotiations that have an impasse where nobody wants to give at the very beginning. Nobody wants to give the other side what they want. They're both trying to promote their own perspectives on the budget and their own priorities and rally their own sides. We've got a very, separate electorate these days, with the middle ground not really engaged and not really too interested in what's going on. So the main thing is that they're using the media for is to rally their own troops, get their own side to say, this is what's going on. You should show some attention to this and see that it's important to influence it.
Sure. And as we just heard in the report from Mary Wilson during the newscast, we're seeing quite a few ads on television defending Governor Wolf's veto. Who is paying for those?
Well, it's pretty interesting that Democratic group, the governors, Democratic Governors Association, is funded largely by unions, and they're looking to, I think, solidify Wolf's position, help to solidify Wolf's position for future goals, for things that are coming up in the future, because a Democratic governor in Pennsylvania for the foreseeable, beyond his first term, for a second term, is going to have an influence on the midterm elections and the next presidential election.
One of the things that Governor Wolf has said, not so much in these ad buys, in fact, he's mentioned in the ads, but he does not. There may be still photographs of him in there, but he does not appear. He does not speak in these ads. Is that part of some sort of strategy there as well?
Well, he's not supposed to be. They're saying that they're not coordinated with him and they're not part of his campaign. But it's another one of those organizations that's there to influence public opinion, but isn't supposed to be working directly for the governor. Maybe it would fall under some campaign finance laws if it did something like that. I'm not too sure, but I think that may be the reason.
So that's why he cannot appear in those?
It's possible. That might be part of it.
Okay, and one of the things that we see the governor, or that we hear the governor say, and I believe he said it in this program in an interview that we did a couple of days after this whole budget crisis began, he said, the people of Pennsylvania voted for divided government. So it's sort of his way of saying, you kind of asked for this adversarial arrangement. So now you've got it, and we're going to have to work through it, much in the way that you just described, Jeff.
Yeah, they're going to have to come to compromise. There's already been some compromise proposals on the increase in the income tax that have come out from some Republicans. So that's what they're going to have to work towards. We've got priorities. We've got differing priorities, but how much of the public really gets engaged in the budget? As you said, the main people who are uncomfortable about the impasse is state agencies or agencies that get money from the state who are going to have their payments delayed, who provide services. They're contractors, basically, for the state. Everyone else is going to sit around and probably in the middle of summer, July and August, not pay that much attention to what's going on.
And you mentioned earlier some of the motivations for these outside groups, where their interest lies and what makes it worth it for them to spend good money to buy television time to get out a message as it relates to this budget situation. What about influencing the budget impasse situation itself. There's the broader goal of, you know, being mindful of things that people are going to, they want to help out the governor. They want him to be seen in a positive way because the unions and others are going to be relying on him for help down the road. They don't want to see his position weakened. There's also looking ahead to 2016 and the elections. But what about as far as the budget impasse itself, and is there also a focus on trying to influence the outcome of this specific situation?
Well, the Republicans are doing, you know, trying to say no new taxes, basically, kind of that harkens back to the past. We've heard that before.
Read my lips.
Yeah, and but at the same time, Pennsylvanians voted for Wolf. They knew that he wants to make what they call investments. They knew that he was going to try to raise some taxes to improve education, lower property taxes. Now, that's an interesting dynamic because the state government doesn't charge property taxes. It's all the local governments that do the property taxes. So he wants to influence that by improving the increasing the state contribution to education. So we're getting into details. Eyes are glazing over, and people are all going to say, I don't get this. This is complicated. And that's really what politicians in some ways are depending upon, is people are not going to get the details, but get the big message. I want to improve education. I want to let's charge some more money for the fracking, or no new taxes. Let's privatize liquor. You know, simple, straightforward phrases are what people can understand, and that's what rallies them.
But there's also, I think people are following this closely because, you know, when you're talking about taxes, it's and if you're a homeowner, this is directly affecting you. The governor's saying, well, you won't pay, and a lot of this involves math, which nobody, you talk about eyes glazing over, that's where people sometimes generally tend to get lost on this. But there is the balance of raising taxes on personal income and on sales balanced against a reduction in property taxes. And the question is, and the argument continues to be, who's telling the truth here? So my question to you, Jeff, is there a truth squad anywhere that people can turn to that is believable in interpreting the budget differences between Governor Wolf and the Republicans in the legislature?
I think you have to turn to some of the websites, some of the Penn Live, other kinds of political websites that you could tell are journalistic or nonpartisan. And the ones I've read so far have said that, yes, the governor can improve the state contribution to education, but the governor cannot lower local property taxes. If cities and towns and school boards get increased contribution, they will have to take it over themselves to either lower the tax, lower the property taxes, or not increase them, which is most likely what I would see happening.
And what about, you know, you hear Republicans say, if the governor raises your personal income tax and also sales taxes, and, you know, maybe you get a break on your property taxes, it still doesn't add up. It's not a good deal for you. The governor's saying, if we can get your property taxes lowered, you're going to be in great shape. So, you know, how do people parse through that?
That may be best for people like seniors who aren't buying as much and who have older homes and may be worth more, but they don't have kids in school or they have fixed incomes and they really don't want to see those property taxes go up. That may be his direction for those kinds. That's where most of the property tax relief needs to be for people. It's complicated stuff. It's politics and numbers and math and budgets. And as I said, I think they're gonna narrow it down to phrases people can understand and people can rally behind, if they really expect people to rally behind, contact their state legislatures and tell them what they think and what their priorities are. I just don't see it happening very much in the middle of the summer. But I think that they're going to get the negotiations, probably getting some of what each side wants eventually.
You would think. And certainly one of the things that these ads are hammering home is the idea that the governor's priority is education. And boy, we've got to get those drilling companies to pay their fair share of taxes. And I'm saying this making quotation marks, in order to fund education. And I'm curious, and I'm going to throw this out to our audience. You can call 412-246-2002. If you're trying to figure out what works best for you as a current citizen, and also what most positively impacts your personal situation How have these ads influenced you? Has anything that you've seen on television changed your mind, perhaps swayed you over to the governor's position, or turned you off to the governor's message and said, and led you to say, hey, those Republican legislators may be right, or they are right? Curious about whether you've seen the ads and how they've influenced you. 246-2002, the number to call, 412-246-2002. You can get involved in the conversation via email at ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Again, the number, 412-246-2002. We're talking with Jeff Ritter, who is a frequent guest on this program and chair of media, communications, and technology at La Roche College, as we look at the media wars being waged in social media and in electronic media, as well as Republicans and Democrats try to get their message out about this budget impasse and who is responsible. And Jeff, is this just normal politics, or is something deeper and perhaps more insidious going on?
Well, I don't know about insidious, but I think maybe they are getting better at thinking ahead and planning, and both the Republican and Democrat side are really thinking ahead to what the governor's relative strength or power or control position is going to be during the 2016 election, because that can make a big difference, the amount of support the governor has and the influence he can have over just, you know, what kinds of things the candidate does and the role of the candidate in the state. But they can also have an influence on the midterm election coming after that. And I think if that's what these people are smart as they're supposed to be, that's what they're using this money for, saying we want to influence those important things in the future. Maybe even redistricting is important that they're thinking about way down in the future.
Well, that's actually something we'll be talking about on the program tomorrow, which is Pennsylvania is looking at, and there's now a plan out there from a legislator who believes that it's time for an independent commission to oversee redistricting, which a number of states are going to, and which a recent Supreme Court decision paved the way for. So getting back to the whole media war here, does this type of media war or managing the message or massaging the message, as Marshall McLuhan used to say, does it do more to help or hurt the budget negotiations or the process of resolving this impasse? If Republican legislators see these ads that the governor's putting on television, are they liable to dig their heels in more and say, fine, if he's going to say that, if he's going to, you know, spew that on the air, then we're just going to be even more stubborn about this?
Well, yeah, I mean, that shows to them he's taking it to the public, not directly, but indirectly. And the public, if there's a reaction, if there's a groundswell from that, yeah, they're going to be. They may do that, but they also may say, the groundswell may say, look, education was what this guy was elected on, and raising some taxes was expected. And don't just give us the anti-message that says we're against it, and we want to make you a one-term governor. And that may be the direction that it'll go, and it could really help Wolf do a lot of those things.
412-246-2002 to join the conversation and to talk about your reaction to these ads that have shown up on television, or maybe you've been contacted in some other way via social media or elsewhere, and we'd like to hear what your reaction is to what you're seeing and how the message is affecting you. I would be remiss if I didn't ask an expert on the media like yourself, Jeff, about Donald Trump and how he seems to be massaging the media. He has used it to move up in the polls as the top presidential candidate, but there's this sort of this scorched top Republican presidential candidate, but there's this kind of a scorched earth policy that's happening here. What exactly is going on?
Well, they've got an amazing situation with so many candidates. When the primaries begin, just a tiny percentage could put somebody in the lead of that whole pack. 5%, 10%, 9, you know, 11, 12% could be the front runner. That's a pretty small number to be the front runner for the Republican nomination for president. So that's one reason I think they're all jockeying for this so strongly. Trump is a media savvy guy. Remember, he's on television. Really, his main job today is being on television, has been. And And so he knows how to communicate to the public. He knows what resonates, and he knows that he's, you know, communicating directly with a lot of people who agree with him or have similar views or have, you know, some of those extreme perspectives are not that extreme today. You know, they're not people out in who are, you know, birthers out in the woods somewhere. But they agree with him, and even some of the standard Republican people who are in contention are a little reluctant to disagree with him or to separate themselves from him because they say, well, we might need his supporters, especially in primaries where only the party stalwarts really count.
Can you get too comfortable, though? I mean, it's clearly Donald Trump is comfortable in the media spotlight, but can someone like him get a little too comfortable for his own good to the point where he seems to think that he's in his living room and saying these things?
Yeah, yeah, he may have slipped
about
up too
immigrants,
far.
And then of course the comment about John McCain that you know, he wasn't really a hero because he got captured. That, I mean, talk about Republicans jumping ship. They are that remark seems to be the one that where now they don't care as much about alienating him or
not
his
everybody.
Supporters.
Not everybody's left him yet, and this may come back to bite him completely, and he may continue on with this theory that says I just say what I want, say what I think all the time. But don't forget also, this guy can do math, and he's figured out the same thing, that a small percentage can make him a front runner for a long time before a big group of people say we really don't want him, and he wants to have an influence on the election eventually, is what I think.
Let's get back to the situation regarding the state legislature and the governor and the media war over the budget impasse. Peter on Twitter says, not seen TV ads because I barely see local TV. Surprised the campaigns don't buy YouTube time. And you're saying, you're like, yeah.
They could be on YouTube. They could be targeted to Western Pennsylvania. They could be targeted to a region, a demographic group. Every time you go to YouTube and open it up and want to see something, that could be what you see first. Yeah, I'd say he's right. They should be more media savvy than that because, tell you the truth, I don't see those ads too much myself either because local TV is not a big part of what I'm doing most of the time either. So maybe.
But is there a certain type of maybe they're not trying to reach you. But is there somebody that's watching? Those ads show up on local news.
Older.
Right. Yeah. So is that maybe that's who they're trying to reach?
Yeah, I'm old, but not old enough. But and
they're far too hip.
They're looking for those guys who are watching the TV news, local TV news, might be yelling at the TV a little bit, throwing something once in a while, turning it up real loud, and those are the ones who might send an email or send a letter or make a phone call to their legislators. So that really is the target, I would guess.
Let's go to the phones, and Carlana in East Liberty is on with us. Carlana, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. You're on with Jeff Ritter.
Hi. Well, I'd like to say that I think basically it's almost impossible to be a citizen in the United States because we're not taught in the public schools about politics and how to participate. And then the media doesn't cover the state legislature or the governor or, you know, for that matter, or the national political issues, mainly because I don't think the reporters, the people who report, are knowledgeable enough to report on it. Anyway, the point is that what we really need is a good system that's reporting on all three levels of government, your local, state, and federal, on a regular basis. And it's just like there's, you know, in the Sunday paper, there's 16 pages reporting on sports, and there's not a single page that's dedicated to reporting on what's happening in Harrisburg or in Washington, D.C., and in our local governments. And so they're sort of, in some ways, the governor and whoever happens to oppose them is forced to have these ads because the media isn't covering it.
Well, okay, let me jump in there. And Jeff, what about the media? I think that, you know, certainly you hear on this station, Mary Wilson and other people reporting from Harrisburg. You know, the newspapers cover it. I won't venture an opinion about, you know, the quality of the coverage, but I mean, I think it's safe to say that that it is covered. So, you know, does Carlana have a point about where the media might be lacking on this?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's covered and it's accurate. It may not be in particular depth. They don't want to devote a lot of time to a story that most people are not going to listen to the details on. And
does she have a point about saying that there's an inordinate amount of other coverage, that the sports section goes in depth on any number of sports, but we can't, you know, get an in-depth article about the, you know, walking us through the complications of one bill or legislative proposal or another?
Yeah, I mean, it's been the case for a long, long time that the media, radio, TV, newspapers, magazines, and now websites give you more choices, but the mainstream, most of what you see has to get an audience. They have to get a paying audience. They have to sell advertising, and they want to mostly give people what they want.
When Carlana talks about sports, you ask a newspaper person, they'll tell you that the sports is what sells the papers,
yeah,
especially in this town.
Yeah, so if you want the detail, you're lucky. Today, you can get all the details you want. It's not going to be handed to you in the newspaper, but it's going to be on the web, in the depth of the internet. You'll be able to find all the details you want from multiple perspectives, every single thing you can think or find about the budget. You could read the actual budget proposals online today. But do most people want to do that? No, they don't. And this really leads to, you know, the difficulty for the media and everybody in covering politics is most people are not looking at these things as emergencies. This is killing my life. This is going to change things radically. This is going to make tomorrow very unpleasant. And they're going to go about their day doing almost exactly what they did the day before, unless there's a major, major crisis, something that's really hitting home and changing their lifestyle and affecting them profoundly, deeply, and financially. They're not going to pay that much attention. And that's really what we have for politics. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? The United States is mostly a pretty complacent society. It's actually, got to decide that for yourself.
Jan on Twitter says, I get my news from newspapers online and from NPR, so the ads don't affect my thinking at all.
Yeah, it's really just going to a certain demographic. And that was a good point made earlier. And if you're not going to see them, you're not influenced by them.
Jeff Ritter is the chairman of Media Communications and Technology, the chair of Media Communications and Technology at La Roche College, talking about the media wars being waged by the governor and the legislature, who are at odds, obviously, over the state budget, which has not been signed by the governor. He's vetoed it. The impasse continues now in its third week. And the media wars and the budget impasse drag on. Jeff Ritter, thank you so much for being with us here on Essential Pittsburgh. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul.
Coming up, last year was another hottest year ever. What's causing this trend and what can be done to slow it down or reverse it? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.